ask Brother David if he would to right off the cuff here to sing Beulah Land for us. It kind of resonated with me when he was playing it, and maybe someone else here tonight needs to hear it as well. So you pray for Brother David.
Heaven must be.
Appreciate that, Brother David. How beautiful heaven must be tonight. We'll get there one day, those of us that are saved, and we'll get there just at the right time. And what a blessing, what a blessing. Appreciate that song tonight. Appreciate the choir. Brother Allen, appreciate you, choir practice, and all the rest of it. Just appreciate everybody here. And appreciate those that are viewing on Facebook. That has certainly extended the ministry in the past couple of years. And so we appreciate that as well. Titus chapter number 2 this evening. Titus chapter number 2, verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. And I'm going to preach on a subject tonight that bears to be repeated at least once a year, if not more. We kind of talked about it this morning during the song service after the song that Miss Amanda and Brother CJ had sang a couple times. Spoke of the grace of God and the mercy of God. And what a blessing that song was. Titus chapter number 2 in verse 11. The Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." I want to preach a few moments on this subject tonight. The grace of God. The grace of God. Again, this bears to be repeated more than once a year. I want to say tonight that I cannot think of a bigger need for the church right now than the need for grace. The individual life that serves the Lord, I cannot think of a bigger need than the need for grace. Grace is what keeps us going when we want to quit. Grace is what comforts us when we get bad news. It is the grace of Almighty God. Grace enables us to not yield to temptation when Satan says, "You might as well. You might as well." Grace enables us to go the other way. Grace is what matures the believer. Grace tonight is exactly what we need, and we're right on the threshold of a brand new week. We all need the grace of God. I know I do. Tonight I want to look at just a couple different, three or four aspects of God's grace, and I hope and I pray that it will resonate within our hearts tonight. Number one, let's look at the definition of grace, or listen to the definition of grace. Someone said that the word grace is the unconditional, undeserved, unlimited, unmerited, unending love and favor of God. And I can say amen to that. Grace has always been there for me, even when I didn't deserve it. And so I appreciate tonight the grace of God, the unconditional, undeserved, unlimited, unmerited, unending love and favor of God. A theologian by the name of J. Dwight Pentecost said that it's God's response to man's need. Grace is God's response to man's need. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse number 9 says that grace is Jesus becoming poor so we can be made rich. What a blessing tonight that God would deposit himself from his earthly kingdom into a human body and die for us. Grace is Jesus becoming poor so we can be made rich. There's an acronym on the word grace, as there's many acronyms on the word grace, but I like this acronym. Take the word grace and you can get this out of each letter. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's disposal. God's riches at Christ's disposal. And so we have tonight the grace of God. The grace of God. The unconditional, undeserved, unlimited, unmerited, unending love in favor of God. I'm glad tonight that God's love is unconditional, aren't you? Aren't you glad of that? The grace of God. So we see the definition of grace, but then there's the different kinds of grace. The different kinds of grace. Number one tonight, there's saving grace. Look here in Titus 2 in verse number 11. He says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." There's saving grace. This verse teaches us that God's grace is seen in the Scriptures. It has appeared to all men. We open God's Word and we read about His saving grace, how He came, again, as I mentioned a moment ago, and He deposited Himself in human flesh. He suffered, He bled, He died, He was buried and rose again, fulfilling salvation's plan. So tonight there's saving grace. Ephesians chapter number 2, I'll just give it to you. In verse number 8 it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Salvation tonight is through the grace of God, and it is saving grace. It is the unconditional, undeserved, unlimited, unmerited, unending love and favor of God, that God would reach down and save someone. There is saving grace tonight. But then there's selecting grace tonight. You say, what do you mean selecting grace? Well, turn to Galatians chapter number 1 for a moment, if you would. Galatians chapter number 1, or you can just listen along, it'll be fine. Galatians 1 in verse number 15 and 16. The Bible says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." There is selecting grace, meaning that God has a purpose for your life. Even before you were born, when you were in your mother's womb, God had a purpose and has a purpose on your life. The book of Jeremiah, I'll just give it to you. Jeremiah chapter number 1 in verse 5, the Bible says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Tonight there is selecting grace, meaning that God has a purpose for your life. Even before you were born, God had chosen you to do certain things. And what a blessing that is tonight, to know that we didn't choose ourselves for salvation. We didn't choose ourselves for certain types of service, but God did. And He has a purpose for you tonight. And the best thing to do is find out what that purpose is and get to serving the Lord. And so there's selecting grace, but then there's sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace. Back in Titus chapter number 2, look at verse number 12. Well, we'll read verse 11, then 12. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world." There is sanctifying grace tonight. He says those first two words in verse number 12, teaching us. Teaching us. The grace of God tonight will teach us some things. I like the song Amazing Grace. And there's a line in that song Amazing Grace that says, "Amazing Grace." Of course, it says, "How sweet the sound to save a wretch like me." But it goes on and it says, "That has grace has taught my heart to fear." I want to say tonight, part of my personal testimony, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. We never attended church and things like that. But got saved on November 19th, 2002. And from that day to this day, which was 19 years ago, I like to think I've learned some things about God. I like to think I've learned some things about life and some do's and don'ts. And I like to think I've learned a little, have just a little smudge. Right, our fingers are almost touching, a little smudge of wisdom. And no man has taught me that, but it's the grace of God that has taught me that. It's through trial and error. It's through the unconditional, undeserved love of God that He has given me chance 2 and chance 3 and chance 4 so I could learn His ways and learn a little bit about God's grace. There is sanctifying grace. The grace of God, it will teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. God's grace will teach us that the best life to live is a sober life, to live righteously and godly in this present world. Why does God's grace teach us to do that? Why does His grace teach us to live soberly and godly in this present world? Well, look in verse number 13. He says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He tells us that His grace, it sanctifies us, and that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, because this world is not our home. There's a new world that's coming, or at least we're looking for His return to this world to take us to that world. And so He is preparing us. He is sanctifying us. He's telling us to stay clean and sober, looking for His return so that we might be with Him in glory. So there's sanctifying grace. But then there is sufficient grace. Sufficient grace. 2 Corinthians tonight, for just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. You know the story, I'm sure, very well. But we have the Apostle Paul, and Paul received the thorn in the flesh. And in verse number 8, the Bible says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. There is the sufficient grace of God. Paul, talking about this thorn, in verse 8, he said that he prayed about this thorn at least on 3 different occasions. Lord, please remove this thing from my life. God, this thing that is poking me every single day in my life, it's causing a disruption in my life. Lord, if You just remove this thing from my life, then I can serve You in a greater capacity. Probably that's what he was thinking and praying. And then again, on a third occasion, Lord, please, please remove this thorn from my life. The Lord finally answered back and said that my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so Jesus was saying, Paul, while you're weak and while you're in pain, then you are totally reliant upon me. So Paul, I'm not going to remove this thorn from your life, because I get greater glory from your life when you're weak. Because if you were strong, Paul, you wouldn't rely upon me as much as you do now when you're weak. I think we all can testify to that tonight, that when we're living life and we're high on the mountain and everything's going well, how much do we need the Lord? Really, within ourselves, do we really crawl up in our prayer closet and beg God for a great moving of God in our life when everything's going fine? Not necessarily. But it's when you have several prayer requests, and it's during those times where everything is going wrong and you feel like you're at wit's end, that's when you crawl into your prayer closet and you ask God that if He would move in your situation, it would be greatly appreciated. You see, many times the Lord allows us to encounter thorns. He allows us to encounter these disabilities in things in our life that we think is crushing us, because that's when His grace, that's when His closeness, that's when He is most near, is when we are at our weakest. And so Paul says in verse number 9, middle ways down, he says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now the word "rest" there in verse number 9 is through the idea of a tent, a tent covering. It means to cover or light upon. And so basically Paul is saying this: in my weakest moment, when I'm down and I'm at wit's end, it's in that moment when God's grace is upon me the most. It's when God is the most near to me. His grace is resting upon me. You know, it's funny sometimes when we feel like we're at wit's end and there's nothing else that can be done, and we have so many loose ends in our life and we need God to move in so many different areas, and sometimes we feel like, "Well, God, where are you? We don't feel you, Lord." Well, according to this account with Paul, in his thorn in the flesh, if we believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for many different reasons, then we have to agree that when we are in similar situations, that God in His grace is the most nearest to us. The times when we feel weak and beggarly, God's grace is nearest the most and with us the most. Verse 10, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong." Tonight there is sufficient grace. You're here tonight, you say, "Brother Justin, I can't make it tomorrow. Brother Justin, I can't make it no more. I'm done." I want to tell you, based upon the authority of God's word, in my own personal testimony, His grace will be all that you need tomorrow. His grace will be there to supply your need on Tuesday, on Wednesday. Some of you are here tonight, and a year ago you said, "Brother Justin, I'll never make it another day." Here you are a year later, and you're still here. How is that? Because of the sufficient grace of Almighty God that is for you. We see God's sufficient grace tonight. We see God's sanctifying grace, His selecting grace. He gives gifts unto men. We see His saving grace, but then there is serving grace. There is serving grace. Hebrews chapter number 12. I ran out of bookmarks. Hebrews chapter number 12. Listen to this, verse number 28. "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." How about that tonight? We have a kingdom that is allotted to us. This is a kingdom that will never be moved. It's sure, steady, unmovable. And because of that, let us have grace that we may serve God acceptably for His honor and His glory. There is serving grace tonight. There's serving grace. So we see the different kinds of grace. We see the definition of grace. But then there's the department of grace. Department of grace. We're in Hebrews 12, those that have followed. Now turn back to Hebrews 4. There's a department of grace. Hebrews 4, in verse number, well, we'll begin reading verse number 15. Well, verse 14. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. In time of need. The department of grace, that is the throne room of grace. You've already heard it. You've heard it for a long, long time that there is a place. And I keep mentioning, maybe I mention it too much, but it's near and dear to me. But I mentioned several times my prayer chair, my garage. And I say that because it's a very intimate place. It's a place where I go to. It's a place where I crawl up in that chair and I pour out my complaints before the Lord. It's the place that I go to where I praise the Lord. And there may not be a prayer chair for you like that in your house, your wherever you live. There may be a prayer closet. There may be a study room that you go to. Prayer can be offered anywhere. But when it comes to having a throne room, there is a throne room that we can go to where God is at and where our mediator is at, where we can tap into the grace of Almighty God and find help to continue on in time of need. He says again in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You can find grace in the throne room. You've just got to stay long enough. Someone said one time, pray until you pray. And I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I don't believe in that. But what I am saying is, stay until you pray. Pray until you pray. Until all of these things in your head gets put out, and then you're finally able to tap into your prayer and praying to God. The department of grace. And then we see the development of grace. Hebrews 13 and verse number 9. Listen to this. Hebrews 13 and verse number 9 says, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. The development of grace. Now, the word established here means to make firm. Be acquainted with, you could say. And so I believe the writer is saying that it's a good thing, it's a profitable thing for our hearts to be made firm with the grace of God. Let us get acquainted with grace. Learn about God's grace. Again, he says that it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Is your heart established with the grace of God tonight? Maybe it's established with the saving grace of God. What about the serving grace of God? Have you experienced God's grace serving Him? The times in life where you want to quit and throw in the towel, but yet God's grace has enabled you. Has your heart been made firm by serving grace? God wants to teach us some things tonight. He wants to teach us to keep going on. And so there's the development of grace, the department of grace. And then lastly tonight, we see the days of grace. The days of grace. In Ephesians 3:2, Paul says, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward. So what is he talking about here? Well, the word dispensation in Ephesians 3:2 can be used in two different ways. Number one, dispensation stewardship, or it means to dispense. And then also the word dispensation means a time frame in the Bible which God did certain things, certain works. And so Paul is saying that I'm a dispenser of God's grace. I am a dispenser of the gospel. And it's during this specific dispensation when his gospel is going forth and he is saving people by the grace of God. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward. So we see that Paul was called to preach to the Gentiles, and he carried the message of the grace of God. And I believe tonight that we are living in the gospel dispensation when God is saving people by His grace. But just as it were in Noah's day, when that dispensation came to a close, that Noah went into the ark. The Bible says, come in to the ark, come. And so Noah and his family went into the ark. And we know that the door was shut. And God rained 40 days and 40 nights and flooded the earth, and everything died that was upon the earth. And we feel that that was a certain dispensation when Noah preached for all of those years and he was building that ark. And then there came a day when the door was shut. And then the wrath of God came upon this earth. We are living also in a certain dispensation of the grace of God when the gospel of Jesus is being preached. But there is coming a day when this age will be closed. This dispensation will be closed up, just like in Noah's day. And it's the day in which Jesus Christ will come for His church. Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1. That's what we believe happens there. And so tonight we are literally living in Revelation 1, chapter 1 down through chapter number 3. When the message is going out to all the churches. And again, Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1. And John says, I heard a voice that says, come up hither. We believe that's the rapture of the church. And so we are literally living in the church age where the gospel is being preached. And the good message of the grace of God is being preached. Again, there's coming a day when this dispensation will be over with. And then we'll go home to be with the Lord. And so what I say tonight is, keep on preaching the gospel, all of us, to a lost and dying world, everywhere we go, everything we do, let that be our message tonight. There's the day of grace, the days of grace, the development of grace, the department of grace, the different kinds of grace, and then the definition of grace. Tonight, that's the message, is just simply the grace of God. Father, we love You, we thank You, we praise You for who You are and for what You do, O Lord. Lord, I pray tonight that if there's someone here, Lord, that needs a touch from You, I pray that You would touch them. Lord, You know the hearts and minds of all of Your people, even those that are watching on Facebook, God. You know the intents of their heart. You know where they're at. We just pray tonight, Lord, that You would do what we cannot do. I pray You'll take this little message tonight and just apply it to the heart that needs it the most. And Lord, we will be forever grateful and thankful for all that You do. We love You tonight, and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.